Hi, everybody, and welcome to a Gem of a Secret podcast. My name is Coco Gem Holiday, and today I decided to go a little bit more on the rustic side. So I have a weathered dress on. It's made of gray and white panels. It also has a nice cutout for my boobs. But then I decided to put a hoodie on over top of it because, you know, a big hoodie makes me feel safe and comfortable, especially for the topic we're going to be talking about today. So I told everybody last week that we would be talking about Stag PDX, and I'm going to hold myself to that promise. Now, I know that this is kind of becoming a little bit of old news, but I wanted to talk about a subject about community accountability, community responsibility, and community awareness, because I think that's really important. I'm going to go ahead right now and put a trigger warning on this episode, because we're going to be talking about difficult subjects that involve sexual assault, predatory behaviors, molestation, and a couple of other things in that realm. So just let you know that the entire episode is going to be related to this subject. So if these are topics that you don't necessarily want to entertain, you can come back for next week and we'll probably be doing some more interview episodes. So let's go ahead and get into it. And I'm going to talk about a lot of this from my personal perspective. I also did work at Stag as well. And so I'm going to start with that journey a little bit. And I'm going to give some of you out there, listeners, because I have listeners from all over the country, actually some listeners from all over the world, who probably don't know the circumstance of what this place is. So Stag PDX is a strip club. It's really queer centered. A lot of queer people go there, but a lot of straight women go there because a lot of the dancers are male presenting as well. So it's also a place where they hire drag artists to announce the dancers on and off the stage. The drag artist also kind of like keeps the steady flow going, like keeps the party going, you know, makes it so everybody feels comfortable in the space, making it so everybody feels comfortable tipping the dancers. They also have to remind customers to tip the dancers. They also do a weekly brunch on Sunday as well. But we're going to talk more about the nightlife scene of it. So Stag does have a past, but I'm not going to necessarily talk about that. I'm going to talk about when it was recently bought by, I believe the owner's name is Julian. And they revitalized Stag because the previous owner had sold it. And then it got a new burst of clientele, some similar dancers, not similar, some of the same dancers. And it just went back into business as a strip club. My friend Autumn Rains had worked there for many, in the sense of the new regime. And Stag also goes to drag artists like Water. They do tend to cycle through them very quickly. It usually has to do a lot with how much somebody is liked or friendships that involve in the space. And that's neither a negative nor necessarily a positive. That's just kind of how it goes. I also worked there doing a bingo on Saturday with Autumn. We were connected to the place in different ways. The scandal that has happened, and it has been released by the news, that Ollie, that's his name, his dancer name when I was working there, was Turk. So apparently on May 30th last year, Beaverton officers took a report of a sexual assault that happened at an apartment in Cedar Mill area of Beaverton. The victim reported meeting Ollie through Ollie's work as a dancer and dance manager at Stag. And so I'm just taking that directly off of the Fox 12 news article. What I want to add to this story just a little bit here is when you work at Stag, like, you know that it's a place, you know, it's a very sexually charged place, right? It's a strip club and things like that. However, there is always supposed to be consent. There is always supposed to be boundaries. There is always a realm of where you can say no and it needs to be respected and understood. Now, I know some of the characters who work at Stag, like, will have a vibe that's like, oh yeah, you know, like, you want me, but that's like a vibe, right? And some people are into that, and there'll be other dancers who are a little bit more on the shy side, and that could be what you're into. And that's how it can go back and forth. So now, when it comes to a person who is taking it a bit too far, and then now has proven to take it to the worst place imaginable, it creates a space that's unsafe for people to feel welcome there. On top of the fact that this person isn't really a part of the queer community. And like I said before, at the earlier part of the episode, is that Stag does sometimes feel like a safe haven for queer individuals. As we move forward in this story, I want to express something here. I know that I'm giving some attention to the person who has violated so many, and that's not necessarily the goal. I want to talk about the safety of queer communities on top of the fact of being respectful to the fact that this might be a hard subject for the victims of this person. And if I'm being quite honest, and I do want to be a little bit more exposed on this podcast myself, this individual and I also had some run-ins, not necessarily to the length of where I could necessarily report it to the police or anything like that, but there were boundaries that were crossed frequently. And I do mean physical boundaries with this individual. And like I said, I'm going to be sharing my story on here because it's mine. The thing with Ali and I is there always seemed to be this, like we were always fine with each other. It just like we were fine. Not, I guess we could say we were friends, but we were fine. But I had a lot of incidents where he would try to like grab my hand and like make me touch his junk, or where he would try to kiss me, or and the thing about the hand grabbing thing that happened, that was the thing that grabbed me the most. And every time I would pull away, but as I would drink, sometimes I wouldn't pull away as quickly. And a lot of you out there know this, I am married. And this incident would always make me feel really guilty. And that's what sucks when you have these moments, because your guilt shouldn't, even if you've done nothing wrong, you can still feel guilty about the action that's happening. And I would tell my husband about it and he would get really mad. And of course, like, but we wouldn't really do anything from it. And so this is the part where everybody in the community is always asking, well, why do you work there? Why do you work there? Why do you work there? Is it because of fame? Is it because of fortune? Is it because of X? Is it because of Y? Is it because of Z? And I'm going to tell you right now, the reason that a lot of drag artists work at Stag is because it pays. It's a rent payment if you have a weekly gig there. It's one of the best paying gigs in the city with very minimal work. So, you know, with like a drag show, you go out and you have to change, you know, three different hairs, three different costumes, different heels and things like that. When you work at Stag, it's just one costume. It can sometimes even be a comfortable costume. Like, and then you get a rent payment from doing that. And all you're really doing is just kind of keeping the crowd together, having a fun time and announcing dancers, and then also tipping. And then for the longest time, they had a huge drink tab as well. So it's like a party for you. And you could invite your friends, because obviously that's more people in the bar buying drinks. And like, it was just an easy gig. And a lot of people let a lot of things go because they, and I wouldn't say in the sense of this subject, I would say a lot of people let negative opinions about Stag go because the paycheck was so high. And as a full-time drag artist, well, many people are full-time drag artists in Portland. That's a big part of the reason that they worked there. Plus, it was also considered to be a queer space. Now, I know all of this is going to make people think, well, that's just an excuse. That's just an excuse. It might just be an excuse. It's also a reason. Like when you're like, oh, this is paying my rent. Like you can't, it's really hard to go up to somebody. And this happens to a lot of POC people as well. And we're going to talk about that in the second half of the show about the people who chose to stay working at Stag. Is that when you have a lot of POC people in the city who are feeling safe in a space and they're being able to get their rent paid, and you go up to them, you're like, hey, you shouldn't work here. Then what are you doing to provide them a safe haven so they can leave? What are you doing to provide them opportunities so they can leave? And you're like, well, that means they're selling their soul. And maybe they might be. And they might be looking for other opportunities as well, especially when they started catching wind that Ollie might not be the best person, right? So as we continue moving forward in this story, just keep this in mind. I remember battling internally about why I was still working there. I remember thinking to myself that this didn't feel good. This didn't feel right. It didn't align with my morals or my morality. And even when I was having fun, and I met actually some of my close friends that I have nowadays, I actually met there. And I appreciate those friendships and I always value that. But I was constantly in competition with myself. It was like my good and my bad side trying to figure out what I could do to move forward in this space. Because I know that working there, like, came with clout and recognition and a heavy paycheck, but it also just made me feel icky. And that's kind of a term I've been using these days, is when I don't know how to say that I feel like my morality was being challenged. It made me feel incredibly icky. part of the reason that when once again management changed, Autumn and I were let go for other drag artists. And at the time, they still kind of wanted to continue doing bingo. And we went back and forth on it a little bit, but also I really wasn't fighting too hard for it because the changeover that happened, and this is from my perspective, when the new management came in, the management that existed previously seemed like they were trying to protect the community from this person. But when the management changed over, this person once again just went wild. And I do mean Ollie, just went wild. And started going back to some of their old ways, drinking too much, being kind of in your face. And I felt uncomfortable again. And so when Julian was like, "Yeah, we're not, it's not working out," then I was like, "Okay, I already battled with working here. Like, I'm not going to fight to be in a space that doesn't look like it's going to make any changes." And that was a really hard thing to accept. But then when the news released about Ollie and the victims and everything that was kind of going on behind the scenes at Stag, it makes me, I'm kind of heartbroken about it. We kind of had stirrings about who he was as a person, but and I used to say this generally about the bigger girls in relation to Ollie, but I'll say it in relation to myself because I did see how he treated some of the other bigger girls. He treated the bigger girls like, of course we wanted him. Of course we wanted him because he was so hot, right? And that was always repulsive to me. And so I never entertained the idea, of him being attractive. I never thought that in any realm in my space. And so when everything kind of came forward and things like that, then it just clicked, right? It clicked. I was like, "Oh, this person really is an abuser. Like, this isn't just a character. This isn't a personality trait. This isn't oh, he went a little bit too far this time." And it's absolutely devastating to each of those victims. It's absolutely devastating what's probably happened to more people, maybe even friends of mine, because of this one person. And it's also devastating for a person who's not even queer to make a queer space feel unsafe. So after the break, I'm going to be going over why people chose to leave and why people chose to stay. And we're going to dialogue about that. But listeners, how are you doing? Hey, everybody. You know sometimes how you get really bored on a Tuesday? Well, I have something for you. We just started up a weekly bingo show at North Bar PDX. It's located at 5008 Southeast Division Street. It starts at 7 o'clock p.m. It's hosted by Carly J. Phoenix, Autumn Rains, and Coco Gem Holiday. It is free to play for the first round for everybody. After that, we do kind of charge for the cards, just so we can get a little bit of money. And also, the bar has the coolest vibe. The bartenders are so cool, so funny, so sweet, and everything you want on an easy-to-have Tuesday. It usually runs from 7 o'clock p.m. to 9 o'clock p.m. And hey, it's bingo. Everybody should know how to play. And remember, it's five squares for a bingo. More information, check it out on our website at agemofasecretpodcast.com. Just click at the events section and you can see all of the events that the CDS Drag Productions has to offer.
It's a podcast.
Check it
out. Tune into what they tell you podcast.
Check it out.
All right, everybody, we are back from our break and I decided to bring a special guest along with me through the second half of our journey talking about Stag PDX. Welcoming to the stage, give it up for Autumn Rains.
Oh my goodness, yes, thank you. Is this where you insert cheers and applauses?
I am trying. Here we go. Yeah.
Oh, how neat.
Yeah, there you go.
So nice to hear that without heckles.
So Autumn and I worked at Stag, as I said, in the previous portion of this show. And I thought instead of just having my perspective, we would kind of bounce off our perspectives together. And like I said before, this is the trigger warning. Obviously, we're going to be talking about difficult subjects involving sexual assault, rape, predatory behaviors, and molestation. And so let's start off with, let's get a little bit of background about your time there, because I didn't really go into that in the first half. So talk about when you got hired at Stag, just in general.
In general, or like this specific like go around?
This specific go around.
Okay, because I started working there like the night Embers closed that next weekend. I did like the first weekend after I did brunch there. So I've been working there for a very long time, just as like a contracted worker, not as like a host or anything.
Yeah.
But the first time I hosted was back in November of 2021. Was my first time because Carly had asked me, and I don't much recall anything wild happening around that period of time. I think that was a more normal experience, probably because I was brand new and not paying attention and was nervous.
Right. That makes sense. So let's go to when you first, because you hosted there. I'm just going to throw this out there, and it just sounds like it's comedic, but it just happens there. Like, people get, like, fired and let go from Stag consistently. Like, Autumn always says, like, working at Stag is, like, a temporary...
Temporary engagement.
So, let's talk about when you had your long engagement there.
So, at that point, I don't even remember how all of that came about. That was so long ago, but...
I remember, actually.
Oh, good, please.
So, yeah, so we, actually, this will fit with the story, actually. So, me and Autumn and, like, 8,000 other girls in the city were put into a group chat by Ollie because Stag had reopened. They were kind of moving away from Carly J. Phoenix being...
Oh, that's right, they closed for a bit and then, like, didn't reopen with her.
Yes. They had, like, I remember Carly had asked me to be one of the brunch hosts with her and Lilac and Charisma, I think, were going to be the ones who were going to do it. And I only got to do one before Stag had kind of, like, they shut down because they're going to go in a different direction with a bunch of different things. And then they wanted to change up the hosts because it was just Carly J. Phoenix who was hosting pretty much all the major shifts.
Every single shift.
Every single shift.
Unless she, like, needed coverage.
Right. And then so Ollie put us all in a group chat together. And that group chat contained many different groups of people who liked or did not like each other. And that's not necessarily...
Worked or didn't work there.
Worked and didn't work there. And it's not necessarily my place to say who liked who and who didn't like what. But that's what happened. I will admit there was one time, actually, and everybody knows this, in that group chat there, one time, like early morning, Ollie had actually sent a nude of himself to all of those drag artists in that chat. And then one of the artists in the chat was actually just like, what's going on? Because obviously when you're a drag artist working in a space and we're all independent contractors, it's really inappropriate for the person hiring you to send a nude to a group of a lot of us.
Even if it is a sexually charged work environment, working in a strip environment.
Right. And I didn't actually know too many details about Ollie at that point, to be honest. I just knew that they were just a sexually charged person, like I mentioned in the first half. From there, that's actually somebody... had said that they need a shift covered. And Autumn was very free to do gigs at that time because Autumn's always down to do gigs. And that's how it started because Autumn kept saying yes, yes, yes to anybody who needed coverage. And then so I even remember Ollie being like, oh yeah, then Autumn gets that one and this one and this one. And that was happening weekly because people had to keep calling out. And then eventually those were just her shifts.
I ended up with Monday, Tuesday, and Saturday.
Right. Good Lord. That was a lot of...
With a full-time job at that point as well.
Good Lord. That's a lot of drag.
So much drag.
So much drag. The shifts, actually, at Stag were 8 until 2 in the morning, I believe.
8:30 to 2.
8:30 to 2 in the morning. Because the dancers start at 9. While Autumn was working there is actually when the bingo started. They said, hey, Autumn was like talking to them like, hey, like let's do a bingo here on Saturday because there wasn't anything happening Saturday before... The dancers started, like, people weren't really hanging out there. So we did the bingo to provide something for people to do to go in there.
And so the dancers wouldn't have to come into an empty bar.
Right. And that means the first dancer who was up at 9 could potentially get some coin.
Yes.
Because even though the hosts were working there, Stag is really about the dancers more so than anything else. And then, of course, the bartenders and food and whatever, and it's their paycheck as well. So let's go ahead and just dive deep now. Talk about your experiences working that long at Stag with Ali.
I'm really good at blocking horrible things out, but from the beginning, I was one of his favorites, which I'm air quoting right now. You just can't see it. Favorites meaning like he would like fully hit on me, like all the things. He would make me kiss him on the cheek when he would be blackout drunk, and just like the normal narcissistic things, like shower with compliments and then like just kind of be crazy constantly. I don't know. It was an odd experience.
Right. And I remember we never really talked about him, actually. So me and Autumn do a lot of our gigs together and we're around each other a lot, but we never really talked about him. And I think it has a lot to do with the fact that it also feels, well, at least I don't want to speak for Autumn in this capacity, she can answer, but it was also kind of humiliating, like that somebody incredibly. Was like taking that much control over you. And this is the one thing that I really wanted to get out of this point too, is you also feel like you had to engage with him or else you'd lose your job.
Yeah, it was that. It was very a yes and improv situation where like you couldn't say the word no.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just kind of went along with it and hoped you could make like eyes with someone to get them to like walk over and he would get distracted.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that happens so much. And the other thing is like everybody was also kind of dealing with it. And then I do remember, now that it's funny, when we talk about a moment in time, I remember around that time too, he used to do this thing where he said, this is my bar, I own this place. He kept doing that all the time.
Just constantly.
Just constantly. And like...
just like the total... It was a... it's a very like, has no money Andrew Tate.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that fits. That fits perfectly. Because I was... gosh, that actually explains a little bit more about what I said in the first half. So in the first half, because Autumn hasn't listened to it yet, I was actually kind of talking about how working at Stag like can pay rent and things like that. And it did for Autumn. And honestly, it paid mine too. When I was there as well, it also paid mine. And I remember thinking so much that I have to keep this person happy to stay here, which also fed into the feeling of how icky I felt about working there. Now, I will admit, and Autumn can attest to this as well, because she was friends with a lot more people there than I was, like, there were things that made it better, like the bartenders, the other dancers, sometimes patrons and whatever that were regulars would come, and you could just, like, distract yourself from the fact that they were just...
a monster.
A monster. I mean, they just were. And I remember thinking to myself all the time about how I just... wanted him to leave me alone. Gosh, I think about that all the time. Like, I was like, just leave me alone. I remember Autumn always would be like, why is he obsessed with you? And I'd be like, he doesn't really treat me very well. Like,
he did the same thing to me for the longest time.
He did, actually. When you first started there, he said that you and another one of the hosts who are very young in the drag career were like the hottest ones that worked there. I remember that all the time.
It's a weird thing to say about the people underneath you.
It really is a really weird thing to say about the people underneath you.
If you can't tell, we're drinking about this right now.
Yeah, we have to drink to get through it.
We're hoping to get sponsored by White Claw one day. I think Cheeky brought that up in her episode. Looking to be sponsored by White Claw.
Yeah, Cheeky Khan's episode will be releasing in a couple of weeks. And we did say, let's get sponsored by White Claw. So to dig a little deeper, how did you deal with the fact that, like, people were consistently trying to push him out, but then he got brought back?
Oh, it was awful. It was just dreadful. That one week where he was gone at the very end was just bliss. There was, like, a collective sigh of relief of the entire establishment. It's like the film Monster House had, like, exhaled.
Oh, wow.
Like, even the building felt freer.
Good Lord. You know, and it started occurring to me. So they had this rule in place, and I do not know why this rule is in place, and I don't want us to speculate, but there was this rule towards the end that the dancer, so the hostess or security or bar staff had to watch anybody getting a lap dance. So for the listeners out there, not anybody, sorry, just the women specifically, but the for the listeners out there, so at Stag, there is a private lap dance area that's just like kind of behind a curtain. And they have three chairs that are, they're kind of like, it's funny, it's just like out in the open behind this curtain, so you can kind of see what's happening back there. But there was this rule, and I don't know actually know when it started, but you, they could get a hostess or a bartender or a security person to just stand over there.
It was whenever a woman went back for a lap dance.
Whenever a woman went back for a lap dance.
Which is problematic in itself.
Yes, super problematic in itself. But I remember that that didn't exist specifically when I was working there the first time. I mean, it might have. I just don't remember.
We can all connect the dots and create a draft, like.
Yeah. So while the time that me and Autumn were working there, we saw three regimes of management. Like, and it's like, and it'd be like, and I do mean like a head bartender and like a couple of bartenders and like, and then something would happen and then all of those would just change over again. And I do remember talking to some of them and then like just referencing that, you know, there were problems there in the regards to that person. And, but the thing is, I never had any specifics. Like, I just never, nobody ever said anything specifically to me other than the experiences I had myself. I mean, they would reference it. Like, they'd be like, oh, yeah, he's trash or something like that. But they would never really tell me the intricate details of who he was. Because I didn't want to talk about him. That was the other thing. Autumn's just, like, nodding at me. Doesn't realize it's a podcast, so you have to say words.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Sorry, I really buried all this trauma in.
She is in a blanket right now. So let's get to the further side of the equation. So after the second to last regime left from, as I mentioned in the earlier half, trying to push this person out, they got brought back. And I also do remember at the time that they were trying to be sober with the last regime.
They were forced to be.
Forced to be.
They were the only ones holding him accountable.
Yes.
And they were in contact with the owner. And the owner had said, now we know that it was not necessarily true, that they would follow through with whatever plan they deemed correct based on his actions.
Right.
And when they did follow through with all of those things, he was gone for a week. And then what I was told was it seemed like he needed more money. Like he needed the money, so they brought him back.
Yes. And that's also what
I
was...
And by they, I mean the owner. The owner brought him back.
Yeah, and that's also what I was told as well. And then I remember, because I was working at Stag at this time on Fridays when he got brought back. And I remember the drinking was just insane. At that point, like, because he had been sober for like a month or two or something like that. I don't know the full time.
It was about 3 months.
And then suddenly it was just like no holds bar. And I want to share this story with everybody, just a little bit of a trigger warning. So I went into the bar on one of my Friday shifts. And, you know, and it was actually pretty busy, like the second I got there. And so I'm like, because I did this thing where I like to talk to patrons in the bar, ask them if they've ever been there. Are they comfortable at a strip club? Just because, you know, some people are not, you know, and like encourage them to get like a cocktail so they can loosen up and have some fun with the dancers. And I remember, God, I remember this so specifically. I went up to this patron and I tapped him on the shoulder and he's like just talking to me. He's like, oh my gosh, you know, I don't really come here often, blah, 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 blah. And then like, I was like, oh, well, this is like one of the dancers here. Like, and it was Ollie standing behind me. I was like, this is one of the dancers. And Ollie just kind of didn't say anything. And then Ollie walked away and the dude looked at me and verbatim said, I think that's the dude that raped my friend. I was like, oh my God. I was like, oh my God. He's like, yeah, he's a piece of shit. And I was like, oh, wow. Oh my God. I did tell bar staff about it, but it didn't really necessarily go anywhere. But I mean, so then you just keep moving on. And like, and the thing is, let's talk about this piece too. Like, morally speaking, it sucked because I felt like I was like competing with the paycheck versus like the stuff I was hearing. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I had just lost my like boy job and I was working there back before accountability was apparently being held. in. So, like, I was going through it three nights a week, and, but I needed the money so I could pay rent.
In the first half, I was mentioning about how if you're going to hold somebody accountable for working there, like, I also believe that, like, I can't believe you're working there. And it's also, like, at the same time being like, well, hey, like, are you going to find me something that pays me this money? And then I also know people would be like, you know, well, maybe you should, like, where do you sit in that regard? And I was saying that it's really easy to say to someone to give something up when it's keeping a roof over their head and food on their table. So the whole point of that is just to recognize that even if a person should leave a situation, it's not specifically super easy. There's not a lot of queer spaces for drag artists to work. It's not necessarily an excuse, but it's also a reason. Like, there is another strip club in town called Silverado, but they're really not looking for any more hosts over there. They kind of have their set hosts that have been there for a long, long, long time. And I haven't heard any issues necessarily about that place in any capacity. But like I said before, Stag currently is still one of the highest paying weekly gigs for a lot of these people. And so it kind of makes sense about why some of them stayed. Now, I want to get into the conversations that have been going on right now on the internet about people who did stay. Because, you know, me and Autumn, you know, we gave up our bingo there. And so there was, after the article was released, you know, people were kind of questioning the folks who stayed and the folks who left. The thing is, this person, Ollie, got arrested for the things that they did. And so what does that mean for Stag? What does that mean for the queer people who work there? Because pretty much everyone, like the majority of people who work there are queer. People are asking, what are you going to do? And some of them did leave. Some of them did leave. Some of them canceled their brunches. Some of the dancers stopped working there, from what I understand.
A lot of the dancers stopped working there throughout the entire time, not necessarily because of this.
Oh, yeah. We did recently just go to a birthday party where we ran into a lot of ex-Stag dancers, and they were like, oh, yeah, we need it out. I do remember that. And when it came to the drag artist hosts, people were wanting to know what they were going to do, because there is one question that needed to be asked. Did the owner know that this person was doing these things? And even though he's never rightfully come out and said to Autumn or I that, yes, I did know that these things were happening, I do know that people were sending him emails about some of the actions that were happening in the space with this individual. And so it means that staying working at Stag does mean you were supporting a person who was partially or fully complicit in the actions of this individual. So you're giving... And profiting off the actions of this individual. So if you continue working at Stag, that means you're feeding the owner's pockets, who more or less did these really negative things. And the thing is, like, and it's not like, so the drag artists that work there don't necessarily feed money into it. And the dancers that work there, they do have to, from what I understand, they do have to pay to be there.
An ever-rising fee.
And then they take money from patrons and stuff like that. And the patrons, and the way that the bar makes money
they get tipped by patrons.
They get tipped by patrons. But the only way that the bar makes money really is through the cover that exists on busier nights, and brunch tickets, of course, and drink sales, as most bars. And so there was a message that got sent out from the people who chose to stay. And I'm going to just read some pieces of that for you all, and then we're going to talk about it. So it came from one of the dancers. And it said, to our friends and sisters, this is one of the segments of it, to our friends and sisters that have decided to step away from Stag PDX, we support and respect your decision to do what is right for you. Our feelings on the matter are complicated. What Ollie has done will likely hang over the space for some time. However, community accountability must come from within. There are very few spaces in Portland where queer and trans dancers and entertainers are able to work, and we do not want to turn our backs on the workers who rely on the space to support themselves, nor their patrons. We as hosts hope to work alongside STAG, using our voices to foster and mend the community that has been built around the establishment to create a safer, stronger, and more welcoming space for everyone moving forward. We want to make it clear, Ollie is not welcome back in this space, and since his departure, STAG is already a more positive place. We know that this does not make what has happened right, but we hope that Ollie's removal from the establishment will allow patrons to begin to feel safe here again. We understand that some may not agree with our choice to continue working here, and that's okay. We all have different ways of dealing with communal trauma, but please know that our hearts are in the right place. If you choose not to support the establishment as a whole going forward, we understand, but we hope that you will choose to continue to support the individuals who work there in their endeavors. And a lot of the people who chose to stay, and actually if I'm looking at the list, all of the people that signed this letter are people of color. And that kind of speaks volumes a little bit about the way that POC artists are necessarily treated in this community. And I don't want to say it's right or wrong for people to stay or have left. That's not really my place to say, and it's not necessarily my place to speculate on, but what I can give is just some backside, like some insider tea about how Drag in Portland is really interesting when it comes to the opportunities that are made available to us just in general, and I'm not just necessarily talking about financial. Like, we're not always necessarily on the biggest stages. We're not necessarily always put in the forefront like they are in Chicago or New York or even LA for that matter. Like, we have to really hustle here to make our names known and to have our fans and our followers. And we should create and cultivate better spaces. So I want to talk about solutions. The reality is there are plenty of spaces in Portland for drag artists to work that will pay top dollar. But those spaces have to be built up from scratch. And while they're being built up, that means you're probably not getting paid. I have the luxury, and I do know I sit in in the line of wealth privilege to be able to start new ventures and pay out of pocket for those things. And I'm not saying that the people who are continuing to work at STAG don't have money. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is to start a new venture as a queer person takes a lot of capital, and you will not see a return on that investment necessarily right away. And so we really should, as a community of queer people, continue cultivating those other spaces, support each other in those other spaces that we build up. I know it sounds like I'm marketing myself and Autumn, but there's also some truth in that. There are other producers in this community who are going out to like breweries and other bars and other spaces and brunch spaces that are creating drag shows so people can be in more positive spaces and don't have to necessarily worry about if their boss is a rapist or not. Autumn, do you want to comment on the letter?
I don't know.
What do you think you would have done?
I probably would have left before it got to being this point. Once he was brought back, I knew the writing was in the cards for me because people kept telling me I was getting fired. But had I not been fired, I likely would have left before that because it went from being a fun money-making experience to a utterly miserable money-making experience where it was just dreadful to be there and I didn't want to be in that experience. So I likely would not have continued if I had had the option much longer, even up to this point.
Yeah, because, you know, and I, you know, let me think about that question myself. Would I have stayed? I feel like Portland has created, and I actually wrote about this online, like, morally speaking, I think the sad thing is, I think I would have stayed, and I'll tell you why, is it took all of this coming to light to make me really look at myself in the mirror and understand how far I've fallen away from the person that I would like to be. I would like to think moving forward that I become a person that if a situation like this was happening, that I would have left. I feel like I've done a lot of soul searching on that specific topic myself, trying to figure out what drag really means to me. And it should always be fun. And when it's not fun, or when you're compromising yourself to work in a space, it's not fun anymore. And I'd like it to remain something that I can enjoy. And I also want to be able to look at myself in the mirror without being disappointed. And I'm not saying that the people who are working there right now feel the same ways that I do. These are just my personal opinions that if I was there working there at the time that all this was happening. Yeah. What would you hope to see from the space moving forward?
Arson. God. But it's made of brick, so I doubt that'll happen. It's never been that is like a cursed space. It has always been bad. Like, even before Stag even moved in, apparently there was a queer space there that was still bad. Hmm. I can't recall the name of it or what it was, but it was like a negative space. When it first opened, the first owner was horrible. Then we had Michael, who was horrible. Now we have this, which is mortifyingly horrible. I don't know. Like, we don't need to lose a queer space, but do we really need to, like, upkeep a toxic one?
Oof. That's a good point. That might be the title of this episode. We don't really need to lose a queer space. Do we need to upkeep a toxic one? You know, and that's true. That's true. I think that there is conversations that need to be had with members of our community, and I'm going to say this as a very blunt point. People in Portland are very afraid of getting canceled. Even in this episode alone, I've probably edited this episode more times than I could probably count. One, to be sensitive to the nature of the topic that we're talking about, but two, also because I'm speaking about issues that people there feel very strongly about, and I might say something that they don't necessarily agree with in regards to what's happening. There could be people who come after us for speaking, saying that, like, we would have stayed or we wouldn't have stayed, and then also giving grace to the people who did. The thing is, I know what this business like is in this community, and it can eat you alive at times. That's why I've spent a really long time working hard to cultivate spaces outside of queer communities to give drag artists a place to feel safe, because at the end of the day, we all are doing the same thing. We're all colleagues. We're all drag artists trying to make a buck, twirling for the kids and having a good time.
And keep a roof over our heads.
You know, I've never really felt connected to drag in the way that I do here in Portland. And I agree with Autumn. I want to be able to do that in a way that makes sense. And because we have lost a lot of queer spaces. And it's heartbreaking to think about it. There really have been a lot of queer spaces closing. And there's been a lot that's opened. But and Autumn can attest, because she's worked at every queer space that has closed, it seems. Nobody give her a mic. Just laughs like a giddy hyena.
And this is the one that stays open.
Well, technically, you hosted there and then it closed.
It closed for a week.
Yeah, well, the curse remains true. So as we get to the end of the episode, I want to talk about real quickly here, because I do it with every single person that I interview. And technically, Autumn is a person I'm interviewing right now. Autumn, if you were to get into a bar fight, which of the people in the Portland drag community would you want on your side to help you win the bar fight?
So, fun story from when I worked at Stag. I got into a near bar fight with a dancer. Mm-hmm. Because I was running my mouth, and then they were running their mouth, and then we both just got louder, and then it proceeded to move from the nice green room basement to up on the general floor. I can't say that I didn't take too many alcoholic beverages, because that might not be a true statement if I said that I was sober. but I will say that I had I had Garrett and Adam and Coco standing behind me. That's three. And I was like, my friends are here, and this bitch is just itty bitty. If I duck now, we're set. And me and this person have squashed all of this, so it's all just in fun to recant it, but...
Oh, yeah, you and her are really good right now. So you're saying the three of us would be the people you'd want in a bar fight?
Yes, because I would tap out, so those would be my two. That would make the three requirement. I would be videotaping from the passenger seat of my best friend's ride as the scrub I am.
Okay. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. I know this is a difficult subject, and I know that the opinions and views expressed here are not necessarily expressly about any other group of people other than myself and Autumn. We tried to do responsible communicating on what we were talking about in tonight's episode. So I hope you all enjoyed it. I hope you were able to get through it. I hope you gained some insight.
And I hope Coco can one time bring me on an episode that isn't recanting trauma.
Absolutely not. Bye.
You can find me on at the Autumn Rains on Instagram.
Oh, yeah. So give me your socials for the kids.
The Autumn Rains on Instagram. That's RAINZ. And at Autumn Rains on Venmo.
Wow. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, everybody. This has been another episode of A Gem of a Secret Podcast. The host of A Gem of a Secret Podcast is Coco Gem Holiday. Our music was provided by Touche Douche and Party Favors. You can follow them on Instagram at Touche Likes Beef and Party Favors Music. Please follow us online at www.agemofasecretpodcast.com. That is a J-E-M of a secret podcast.com or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Our episodes are released every Thursday. Bye-bye.